Okay, so we're up to Reish Zayin. In the sugya we're starting is Tzadik Gezer Kosh Baruch Hu Makayim. Let's push ahead and we'll summarize as we go ahead. Nita'al Atzmeinu, let's imagine for ourselves, Shiyudi Shiyesh L'Choyle Bebeiser. You have a Jew that has a Choyle Bebeiser. Pegesh L'Arizal B'Kvoido V'Otzmoy. He goes to L'Arizal. Nonetheless, the Arizal himself. Uvavakesh mimenu chi'ati ba'adoi, and he asks him, please, to intervene on his behalf. Yeah. Ainu la'Arizal. The Arizal says to him like this: Agale lecha ma'asid liyos. I'll reveal for you what's going to be in the future. Al lecha doig ledoig. You're nothing to worry about. Gilu li min hashamayim ki achoyle yivriyim. It's revealed to me, Shemayim, that the sick person is going to be healthy. Don't have to worry. Vina abateich ha'amiti, al pi medreges abatochen ha'shnia, lo yeh monyan lishmo al ha'asid lovo. Somebody who's holding on the second, on the highest level of batochen, according to the second shitta, he's not interested in this. This doesn't excite him at all. Shekein adova enu madrit oto klau. This doesn't interfere with him at all. He's not looking to the future. He accepts the fact that there's a choil in his house now, and he accepts it with love. So why does he go to the chochem? It says, he's palo. He doesn't go to the chochem because you want to tell him that everything's going to be okay. You go to the chochem so he should daven for you. Why is there a sick person in my house? He said, I'll go to the Chochem, get him to start davening. Why? Because that's the goal of life, is to daven. You have got this yourself clear. You've got to get this clear, otherwise there's no point in carrying on. Okay. You're not going to the Chochem for him to tell you everything's going to be fine. How do you know everything's going to be fine? That's not what I came to you for. I came to you because there's hundreds of sick people in the world, and we need you to daven for them. How do we get you to daven for them? So I come to him, I tell you, I've got a choyle bebeiser, please will you daven for him? Ah, now the chochem starts davening that he should get well. I don't know if it's going to work on my choyle, but it'll certainly work on all the other choyle. That's the yisod, that's what we brought out here. I'm not interested. If you tell me you've got nothing to worry about, the guy's going to get well, then no one's going to daven. Well, what do you have to get sick for in the first place? I heard yesterday from somebody who I know is an MS dicker messenger of Reb Chaim. Asked him, what's with the war, what's going on here? So he said like this: Akash Baruch is reminding us that we're in Golas and he wants our tefillahs. Lech lechochem lehit palo, go to the chochem. He didn't say, don't worry, it's going to be okay, it'll be over on Wednesday, and all the rumors, Reb Chaim said. You don't have to worry, everything's going to be okay, the war's going to be over on Wednesday. I don't ask you for the future, I don't ask you to be a fortune teller. Fortune tellers are plenty, I've got a fortune tellers. Chochem, he got a daven. He focuses on what a tafkid is. If a Jew finds himself in tzoros, first of all, the chiyuv deraisa, according to the Rishonim that hold, there's no chiyuv tefillah deraisa. The Rambam says that you have a chiyuv to daven when you're in tzoros. That's what is a chiyuv deraisa. So, Jews are in tzoros, you have to daven. So now it's a chiyuv deraisa. That's what you're in the world for. Not to go even until it's all going to be okay. You don't have to worry in the war. No, what you're worrying about, it'll all be okay. That's what all the suffering is for. So you don't have to worry. Nonsense. You have to worry. You have to be very worried. Why? So that you'll daven. You'll daven, then you've got a chance. But if you don't daven because you're not worried, what's the whole story about? Does that make sense? Does this make clear, crystal clear sense to you? Because this is what we're learning at the moment.
Just to make a problem, because whenever the army is involved, you always lose track of what is in trouble. That's the biggest problem.
That's with everything. You go and see a doctor, you forget who's in track. You go to the bank manager, you forget who's in charge. That's why the world's called Olam, because it's Melam, because it hides a Kodesh Baruch Hu.
But sometimes it's easy to see his you know, work in the world, and other times it's
so the harder it is, the bigger the reward.
Right.
The bigger the challenge, the bigger the reward.
We've seen F-16 and we hear F-16 blew up bunker and we think, it's
Baruch Hashem, Am Yisrael betach b'tzahal. The Jewish people trust in the army. Yeah, and then that's why we're in trouble. That's why Mashiach never came after the Six-Day War. Because if we turned around after the Six-Day War and said, Am Yisrael b'tach b'Hashem, they would have been Mashiach. There were so many Gilu Nisim. That was the biggest. I mean, that was like, if you analyze those events carefully, it's Korov Lekrius Yamsuf. It's Korov Letzias Mitzrayim with the Makkism. It's not normal. You understand? Like a handful of Jewish soldiers who are horribly underarmed, okay, beat like 150,000 well armed. I mean, it's not normal. Today they've changed the textbooks in the schools. Okay, to show that we really weren't that outnumbered and that actually our technology was great and whatever. Because how do you teach the Six Day War in secular schools today if you don't want God in the picture?
How do you say it anyway? Logically.
So now they show you because we had more tanks than the Syrians, right. And we had more this, and so then you whatever. So it's a little bit miraculous, but it's not, you know. There was a Yid at West Point. West Point's the famous American military academy, and they were studying. He was doing a course there. They were studying different strategies and whatever from different wars. Well, so they looked at Napoleon, and they looked at the Korean War and the Crimean War and the Yena War and the World War, and they went all through the wars and whatever. And afterwards, the course finished. The Yid was like shocked. So he put up his hand and said to the general, "Excuse me, sir, but what about like in the Middle East? You know, like the Israeli wars or whatever." So he said, "There's nothing to learn from those wars in terms of strategy." He said, "There was nothing there that was normal. There was nothing there that made any sense." He said, "If we would teach you the way the Israelis fought, you would lose. There was nothing good about their strategy. There was nothing valuable. There's nothing valuable to be gained by anything they did." He said, "It was all miracles." This Goyish journal turned around and said, "No value. It's not in the curriculum."
They bombed all the Syrian army when they're all on the ground.
No. Miracles. That they never got picked up in the radar, that they never got shot down. The Egyptians themselves testify to things that were miraculous. There were three tanks, and 60 Egyptian tanks surrendered to 3 Israeli tanks. Famous story. Three Israeli tanks came in the Sinai, they came up to a hill, and then in front of them were rained 60 Egyptian tanks. So the commander said, "Everyone for himself. You want to run. There's no. We finished. It's over." So there was a Sfadi guy there, Sfadi from Gar. He said, "Look, we're dead anyway, so we might as well go Kiddush Hashem." He said, "Everybody pick one tank and your guns. Load your guns and your guns. We say Shema Yisrael, and when I say fire, you fire." So they all said Shema Yisrael, they fired, and suddenly the white flags started coming out the Egyptian tanks. What? Yeah. So they went and they cornered them, they arrested all of them or whatever. So the commander of the Egyptian tanks said to the Israeli tanks, said to the commander of the Egyptian tanks, he said, "You're done mess with us. You see what an Israeli tank is?" He said, "What are you talking about? We surrendered to the aeroplanes." They reported seeing M16s or whatever they were, where we were hovering around. That's why they said they were going to get blown out of the desert. There was no air cover. There were no aeroplanes at that time of the day. You know how many guys? That whole contingent became frum. Everyone from those 3 Israeli tanks became frum from there. Those are open miracles of people coming back reporting. How do you teach that at West Point?
They have a story like that during the 48 War. They had a really old camp. Old tank that makes so much noise. He's taking out to the top order. When he used to fire off, they used to think it was a whole military
artillery. There were times they were using globes, they didn't have weapons, they were throwing. I told you Rav Nachman told us. Rav Nachman told us he had an uncle in the army, he was a colonel, I think, in the army or whatever. So before the 6 day war, he found him and he asked him, "What's going to be?" So he said, "I don't know what's going to be, but it'll all be over in 6 days. So he said to him, "How do you know?" He said, "Because we've only got bullets for 6 days. Whatever's going to happen will be over in 6 days. And the fact that it was over in 6 days, America climbed in and ceasefires and, you know, come on. Our difficulty is always getting past the koich of Oitzim Yodi.
It seems that the test seems to be within Sahar. It's always like we want to praise someone, and we always find Sahar to praise.
Well, because that's where you put your koiches. Baruch HaGeva Asher Yiftach BaHashem V'Hoy Hashem Yiftachoy. The thing you put your trust in, that's what Hashem leaves you to trust. You put your trust in the bank manager, Hashem says, "Fine, have the bank manager, I'm stepping out of the picture. You go with the bank manager." You put your trust in the army, and by the way, that's I believe going to be one of the last tests we're going to have to overcome. Is we're going to have to be shown that it's not the army.
We can do it, it's not difficult.
You're going to have to see that the army can't do anything to stop the war. It's not shaykh for the army to stop the war. Yeah. And we're going to be overrun because the army can't do anything to stop this war, and we still won.
Not far from
that. No. No one's seeing it at the moment. This is a war you can't win with an army.
Right.
Okay, but no one sees it yet. No one sees it. But you understand, in order for there to be a Gilu Hashem, we have to get out of the way. Every Yid. Every Yid. No, first me. If I think I'm doing everything, so then there's no room for Hashem here. The brilliant surgeon who, you know, sort of like, you know, whips his knives and gets the growth out and everything switched up and done beautifully, whatever, because he's such a master craftsman. So you go, wow, that was an amazing piece of surgery. You don't see a Kosh Baruch Hu. You get some blunder there with a crowbar or whatever, and he doesn't know what he's doing, and he messes up and he chops the wrong arteries or whatever, and he does everything wrong, and the guy survives. So you say, well, there's nothing to do with the doctor. So how did he survive? Must be the Kosh Baruch Hu in the world. Correct? So when we see a Kosh Baruch Hu in the brilliant surgeon, then you can have a brilliant surgeon. But if you refuse to see a Kosh Baruch Hu in the brilliant surgeon, in the 6 day war, you come out of the 6 day war and you put a bumper stick on your car that says, Am Yisrael B'tach B'tzahal. Hashem says, oh, you trust in the army? You know what, you can have an army, not just any army. You have the best army in the world. You have the best airplanes, the best missiles. I'll even give you a few atom bombs. You know what, you want 100 atom bombs? Yeah, he has 100 atom bombs. Whatever you want. And you know what, you're going to lose a war to kids with sticks and stones. That's what you're going to do. You're going to lose a war to a bunch of kids with sticks, stones. That's who you're going to lose a war to. With all your bombs and with all your weapons and with all your military might, okay? Look what's going to happen. You trust in me? Hashem says, you trust in me? You put your koichas where you're supposed to put your koichas. You put your koichas in achdus, in building Klal Yisrael, in avas chinam. You put your koichas in Torah and mitzvahs. Then you can wipe out any army. Then they can come at you with atom bombs and they can't touch you. What happened to Sancheirev? Sancheirev was the mightiest army in the world. Okay, surrounded the whole of Klal Yisrael, the whole of Eretz Yisrael. They were going to destroy. It was going to be over. There was nothing going to be left. Sancheirev had changed the whole world. Sancheirev conquered the world. He was a master craftsman, and all his troops died at night. They died. They all died. They woke up the next morning. There was a plague, and everyone woke up. They didn't wake up. It was finished. It was over. So the Gemara discusses it in Sanhedrin Chizkiyahu Melech. So that was in a Tekufu where there were open miracles. Today we don't have this kind of open miracles, but you still have to look, you have to see.
But where's the place for a human Jew to have his status in the
we have army? To be practical. We have to be practical.
So support the army?
What does it mean support the army? You have to daven. You have to daven.
Is it more important to daven for them or important to provide for them?
If you can provide, why not? That's the matzah we're in. We don't have an ideology, you have to understand. It's very good. I never quote the newspapers. Very, very good. Excellent. I'll try to remember to bring and make a photocopy. Editorial in this last week's at TED. We don't have an ideology in Golos. Our ideology is an ideology we're in Golos. The left wing thinks we're not in Golos, and if you just talk to the Arabs, everything will be fine. You just make peace. They think like us. They also just want to have a nice home and a nice car and go to shul once a year or whatever, and have their little religion and be left alone. And if we leave them alone, they'll leave us alone. That's what the left wing thinks. That's their ideology, right? So they build a whole practical approach to how you deal with conflicts based on that ideology. The right wing, they have their ideology. Right? We want to live in peace. You can't live in peace with these people, so you've got to keep them at a distance. You've got to blow them up. You've got to wipe them out. You've got whatever. You've got to build walls. Whatever it is you've got to do to keep them away, you've got to get rid of them because they're bad news, right? What's the Torah Jews approach? We don't have an ideology. We're in Golos. We understand that until the Beis Hamikdash is built, until Mashiach comes, we're in Golos. We're going to be hounded. We're going to be troubled. We're going to have problems. We're going to have a hard time. You're going to have better years. You're going to have worse years. You're going to have Holocaust. You're going to have golden years like they had in Spain. Golden years like we're having now. But we're in Golos at the end of the day. So what's our ideology? What's the practical? What do? You decide what's practical. Sometimes you have to talk to the goyim. Sometimes you have to fight the goyim. Depends what's practical. You have to make decisions based on pragmatism, not on ideology. Because our ideology is clear. We're in Golos. We're not going to solve the problems. You have to be practical. If there's a Holocaust on and you can smuggle Yidden out by bribing Nazi officers, then you smuggle. Whatever you can do to save lives. If you can go to war against Nazi Germany and wipe them out, that's just then go to war against Nazi Germany. I don't know. Where's room for the army? It depends. Sometimes there's room for an army. Sometimes there isn't. Look at Chanukah and look at Purim. Those are always the two prototypes. Chanukah, we went to war, and Purim, we sent me to Tshuva. Yeah, you know this, huh? You've all heard this dynamic, why it's like that.
Yeah.
Why, you see, in any response, in the two goluses, in the two responses, this is well known, totally, that came out as very spoken. I mean, it's well known, but it came out in the Scud missiles or whatever, because that was an interesting war. In Purim, no one went to war. I mean, right at the end, we were allowed to defend ourselves, so we killed off the whatever. But the approach, the response,
it's a spiritual war,
the response was tshuva and tefillah. And then in Chanukah, the response was go to war. What's the difference? So two different wars. There were two different attacks. In Purim, you're being killed because you were Jewish. You could have converted to Hamanism or whatever the religion of the day was. You could have sworn allegiance to the throne. You were Jewish, you got killed. There's nothing to talk about. Hanukkah, they didn't want to kill us. They just wanted us to stop keeping Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and Bris Milah. That was all. And carry on being happy. Just all we want to do is just change a few little things in your religion. Just be like us and everything will be fine. I'm trying to kill you. Anybody who agreed to convert, they left alone. The Spanish Inquisition as well. Become a good Christian, left you alone? No problems. Hakol b'day shamayim chutz miYerushalayim. Everything comes from Hashem except Yerushalayim. So when Yerushalayim is being attacked, that's not b'day shamayim that you have to fight. That's your responsibility. Yeah. When it's a kol b'day shamayim, when they're attacking your Yerushalayim, then you have to defend it because that's not b'day shamayim. When you're not attacking your Yerushalayim, they're going to kill you anyway. They're going to kill you anyway, right? So there you call you going to fight. This is not your responsibility. That's Midah Shemayim. Yerushalayim is Chutz Mirushalayim. Yerushalayim is Chutz Mirushalayim. They're taking your Yerushalayim. That's Chutz Mirushalayim. That's your responsibility. You have control of your Yerushalayim. You have to defend it. In Purim, it wasn't your Yerushalayim that was being attacked. So there, the only way to change that Gzair in Shemayim, okay, is to do Tshuva. Because that's a Shemayim Dik Gzair. That's a direct Gzair from Shemayim. So you have to define what the response is. So the Muslims or whatever not, and therefore the main response and the main war and the main battle that we have to fight is a kol Yaakov. It's tshuva and tefillah, avas chinam, working on building personal relationships, because that's what destroyed the base of Mikdash. That's why we're in Golas, because the sinners chinam, we've got to build avas chinam.
The Gedolim would be quite happy if the Israeli army just packed up tomorrow.
Well, no, because you have to be practical. That doesn't mean
we're in a
war. Hold on a second. Why haven't we gone to war against the state of Israel? Why aren't the Haredis all gone and wiped out hold on a second. Why haven't we gone? Let's ask ourselves. Forget about this war that we're fighting out, Hezbollah. Let's ask a simple question. In the founding of the state of Israel, in the last 40 or 50 or 60 years of the state of Israel, where the state of Israel has gone out of its way to try and destroy Torah and attack everything spiritual and Jewish in this world. Right? How come the Chayim didn't pick up and start fighting a war? Chofetz Chaim asked this question. Shimshon asked this question or whatever. Because practically right now, that's not the response. There's not a practical response to that. You'll tell me in Hanukkah times there wasn't a practical response either. Could be you were right. Could be. But you see, that has not been the response of the Gedolei Ador. The response has been to get involved in the parliament and to try and eke out and try and stretch out and try and say whatever you could. You have to know. But you at least know what war you're in. What war am I in? I'm in a war of Tefillah and Tshuva. Practically right now, if the army packed up and left or whatever, I don't know if that could be a practical thing to do. That would be a good thing to do. So, I don't know. It could be that Ishtadlis now. You have to have an army and you have to fight. I don't know. I'm saying, but if the whole of Kalisar would do tshuva, you could send the army home. If you get all of the Jewish people all over tomorrow, sit down and do tshuva on the spot, which was what Mordechai eventually got everyone to do. You got them to do tshuva for having gone to the feast. If you get the whole of Kalisar to do tshuva, yeah, so then 100%. But when the kol Yaakov is not stronger than the angel Esav, so then maybe you have to meet Esav. Yaakov prepared in three ways for his war against Esav. Sent gifts, and he davened, and he did all the spiritual stuff, and he prepared for war. Preparing for war means you take whatever practical steps you have to take. You have betochen and you hope everything's going to be okay and whatever, but at the same time you have to prepare. You have to prepare for war.
So what's the response to an army soldier?
What's that?
A Torah Jew's response to an army soldier.
To an army soldier?
Are you grateful for
it? He said, yeah, you have to have a cross of Torah. You have to daven for him, of course.
No, yeah, a cross of Torah always do.
I've heard you have a cross of Torah.
He's defending you.
I've heard?
Even if he's saying Koichem Oitzimali.
He's saying Koichem Oitzimali because we haven't done our job properly in Makariving him. It's not his fault. You have a soldier who's a real apikoris and he knows what he's talking about and he's a... Listen, first of all, most of the, I don't know about most, but a heck of a lot of the soldiers up there fighting and getting killed are from soldiers. That's number one. Let's not kid ourselves, there are no from soldiers up there, okay? The Gozi unit that went in and the crack troops and whatever that went in, the five guys that got killed there are from I'll never show you Mashabas guys there, okay? Plenty of pictures coming out of the war with guys standing on tanks with talis. Amazing how the secular press always stop when there's a war. They suddenly stop putting up pictures of guys with talis and tefillins on tanks and whatever. Because you got to know what you're fighting for. Because these poor guys don't know what they're fighting for. The Russian goyim in the army, they know what they're fighting for. Why do you have to have a chorus of Torah? Is a yid there risking his life? And if he gets killed up on the border, he's a kodosh. He goes straight to, he's dying because he's Jewish. He's a martyr.
Do you know
kavanah?
He's got some kavanah.
Don't have kavanah. He's risking his life. He's risking his life there to save Yiddish lives. You want to have politically whatever, but it's not a political politics here. Yeah? Where's the politics? They're coming to kill us. You do whatever you can to save your life. He's out there. He's gone up there to try and save us or whatever. Good. But we have to know. We have to know that the Israeli army is like a bird. He got stuck in the mud. He's got his 2 feet stuck in the mud. Yeah. So he has a look and he realizes that he can get his beak. With his beak, he can haul out one leg. So he digs his one leg out with his beak and now his beak's stuck in the mud. So then he takes his other leg and he digs out the other leg and now he's got his beak with the other leg stuck in the mud. That's what Koich looks like. Sometimes you don't have a choice. You've got to dig your leg out, but you have to know you're going to get your nostrils stuck in the mud. There's no way out of here. We're waiting for Golus. For Gula. We're waiting for Mashiach. That's what a Frum Jew has to understand. The Frum Jew's response has to be, we have to do whatever we can do which is practical. The Gedolei Yisrael had tainus against the Gush Katif Yidden. Yeah, this is a very political. I'm not usually political, but I'm just trying to show. Just you have to know this as the Hilchos Betochet. They were planting fields in Gush Katif the day before the army came to take them out. No, now that sounds like awesome Betochet, yeah. But they made no plans. If what happens if it doesn't work, what are you going to do? Yaakov Avinu told us you have to prepare for war. You've got to prepare for war. Sometimes preparing for war means you have to have practical alternatives. If the tefillah doesn't work, what are you going to do? But tochen doesn't mean you stand there drowning and when you drown you suddenly wake up and realize, but why don't you save me, Hashem? You start looking for a life raft. That's also betochen. That's not a chasorin in betochen. Going and looking for a life raft is part of betochen. You have to do whatever you have to do. You have to make ishtadlus.
What do you do if it sort of turns around and says, "Why don't you join me?" You see, there's a need for, you know, we need to defend our country and it's now.
There's a shutfus. There's a shut. We have a partnership. You can't do anything without our spiritual input. We need each other. You want to come sit and learn and say tefillin and whatever the Mishnah tells us. Call him a kavala of all malchus shemaim. Whoever accepts upon himself the yoke of heaven, ma'arim alav all derech eretz val malchus. You don't have to go to the army. There's two ways to fight the war. There's the makabal malchus shemaim, and you makabal malchus shemaim, you potter. And if not, then you have to go to the war. From soldiers. I don't know. Too many of those tarnas. I don't know. That's political tarnas. First of all, it's the law of the country. I don't have to go to the army. Law of the country. I don't have to go any further than that. You got tarnas against Ben Gurion. He made the law, not me. Right? Now you want to go fight in the back mishpat and whatever. I'm not a politician. Whatever the country says, whatever the law is, I'll abide by the law. The law says go to the army. Go to the army. It's a problem. The Gedolei Yisrael will say, I'm not allowed to go to the army. I've got to give my life. I'll give my life. I'm a simple guy. Simple, whatever. You know. So first of all, let's not whatever. But they couldn't do anything. They couldn't. If we weren't sitting and learning, if we weren't saying Tehillim, if we weren't, then you have no idea. It would be if we could mamash show them what it would look like. Plus, it's awesome. You can get all the Frum Jews. So you want to see what the difference is? No learning, no davening, no tefillah.
Why
is
it awesome?
Also to stop learning? You're killing people.
I'm saying, why have you asked to show them?
To show them, because while you stop davening, first of all, Hashem runs the world. Hashem told you you've got to davening with you. But I'm just saying, if we could get all the kids to stop learning, sure, and davening, whatever, it's also because you're not allowed to stop learning. You're not allowed to stop davening. You have a chi of your own. But if you would, you'd see what goes on. See what goes on. Over 200 missiles have hit inhabited places in Eretz Yisrael or whatever. And I mean, two Katushas, mama, hit an inhabited house, and people were in the house, and no one gets hurt. You explain that one to me. Come on. Miracles, open miracles. Hundreds and hundreds of missiles hitting densely populated areas, okay, and no one getting hurt. I mean, they're miracles. Miracles, open miracles. We have to know. Your tefillah, your learning. That's what's winning the war. You need to make ishtadlus as well. But sometimes that ishtadlus is a chilul Hashem, it's not a kiddush Hashem. Wars don't enhance and strengthen moral character of troops. It's a known fact. Soldiers go to war, they don't always behave the way they're supposed to. It's not posh. This is not posh at all. It's not posh. Complicated. Complicated sukkah season. The auntie's got is gula. The aunties, we're waiting for Mashiach. Then all our problems will be solved. In the meantime, it's all like it's kind of like this bitty yevet. What do you do? Where? What? You've got to take steps to protect yourself. They're not just, yeah, you're living in London. So you know they're trying to get us even in London. So do you have to have security guards in the schools and stuff like that? You have to put concrete barriers up. Of course you have to. That's been practical. You're not very practical. We're going to be practical. Why did Hashem need Yeshua when they came into Eretz Yisrael? It was all Nisim. So what did they have to fight wars for? The whole thing was going to be one big miracle. What did they have to go to war for? When they were fighting against Amalek in the Chumash. So when Moshe's hands were up, they won, and when his hands were down, they lost. What, Moshe's hands are doing anything? No, when the Klal Yisrael looked to Shemayim, they won, and when they didn't, they lost. But they were still fighting. So what did they have to fight for? So in the best midrash, the enemy will fall apart. You see, that's not the derech. I said this about Kiruv, and I said about the army. Not every Yid has to go to Kiruv. The Jewish people have to find a response to the Kiruv issue. The Jewish people have to come up with a response. We've always come up with a response. Jewish people have always come up with a response to the problems we're having. That doesn't mean every Yid has to do everything. We need an army. We need people to go to the army. Fine. So there'll be an army. Klal Yisrael has to come up with an army. That doesn't mean everyone's got to go to the army. Same as not everyone has to go to Kiruv. Not everyone has to sit and learn. Not everyone, because each Yid has to find his tafkid.
Does the Torah world openly thank the secular Jews for going to the army?
If they openly do, but the Gedol Yisrael have all had enormous hakaras to tell you, and they've done everything they can, and they've been turning Gedol Yisrael, they've been actively involved. Yeah. It's a very delicate situation, this country. It's a very difficult situation because it's become very politicized.
The MS is MS. If you're not affected by my ratings.
Of course not. So, what do you think of Shachtin now? Rav Shach's own son, Rav Shach's own grandson was a paratrooper. He used to come past his Zayda to come get a brocha before he went to battle. So was God will be Israel, whose Avos Israel is for every Yid is Boeres and overflows or whatever. You don't think he's in pain over the Yid and whatever, doesn't know, because he's not davening for them, and he's not. God, I'd be shocked.
The difference is that's openly thanking them for you.
Individuals or the state with the army? No, you have to separate. Gadol Ador don't usually do that. Gadol Ador don't make public statements. Gadol Ador, usually you'll find the Gadol Ador don't make public statements, unless it's a little thing about what Klal Yisrael needs. Like now, Rav Elashim Ra'alim Leib came out with a very short public statement that Klal Yisrael should strengthen themselves in Torah and in Tefillah and in Tznius and in Avos and in Avos Chinam. Put them in their tear, it was put up in different. Wherever the Israeli Torah world puts up a tzetlach, you know, however the communication network grapevine works, you know, you'll find it in the Israeli papers, you'll find it on the notice boards, in the shuls, or whatever. So that's about the most public statement you'll ever get from the Gadol, because the Gadol are not public figures. They're not politicians, they're not there out wrestling Disney. You want to know what you should do? Go ask, and he'll tell you. You can go see whenever you want. Go ask Rav Kanievsky, do I have a chiv to have a prosecutor for the Israeli army, and ask him what he says. He'll not make a public statement. Because he doesn't make public statements about anything unless it's mamish. It's a kal issue, and he'll have his little three words to say, whatever, because he feels that drach is necessary. When it comes to issues of chinuch and internal matters or whatever, then they'll speak. When it comes to political public matters or whatever, he's not a politician. He's not up there. He's not in there. That's not his job as a leader of Klal Yisrael. You see, we have very confused ideas of what a leader of a nation is supposed to look like. We've been on the ground of the secular world of how they run their affairs too long for us to appreciate what a Gadol Ador is doing. What's Rav Elashim doing? He's sitting and learning. When Rav Shach made his famous speech in the basketball statement that time, when he chose the Israeli Prime Minister, there were 40 million people watching him all over the world on television, whatever. He spent the day learning. And he went from his Gemara, he went from his Shtender to give his little Machazik Shabbos and whatever, and he went back to his Gemara. He didn't make one political statement. The whole speech, the whole world was sitting there watching, like, who's he going to choose? There was an election, you know what I'm talking about, the famous 18 years ago, the famous speech of Shach made in the basketball statement. He was planning on giving a talk. It was going to be a small talk in Ponovich. Turned out to be the most politically powerful speech ever given in Eretz Yisrael, because there was an election and the coalition was dependent on who the religious parties joined. So Shach was basically choosing the next Israeli prime minister. So the whole world was waiting to see who was going to be the next Israeli Prime Minister, and it was up to Rav Shach. No one ever heard of Rav Shach, 90-year-old sage from Bnei Brak. No one ever heard of him. And he was planning on giving a talk anyway. He was giving a chizuk talk. So instead of doing it in Panovich, I decided they took the basketball stadium. What's it called? Stadia or whatever. On the Tel Aviv highway, there's a big basketball stadium. Famous basketball stadium. Packed, there was like 30,000 people in there. They'd have in Maariv, the whole shtick, the normal, you know, Jewish gathering. There was television crews there from all over the world, Japan, there were 40 million people watching the broadcast live. Waiting for Shach. That's when Shach got up and made his famous speech about the chazer, the people that eat chazer in the kibbutzim, and the headlines the next day were, you know, Shach attacked kibbutzim about eating chazer, and all Shach really said was keep Shabbos. The whole speech you listened to basically was saying you got to keep Shabbos. Shach says keep Shabbos. It was a headline. And everyone went home not knowing, you know, what he chose. Of course, everyone understood who he chose. The next day, they, you know, Degel stood who they were joining. There was a new government. I can't remember who it was, Begin or not Begin. I'm really on too much about Israel. That's Israel. That's responsibility, that awesome responsibility. It's in Rav Shach after the Scud War. Rav Shach was the one that told the Kohelim to carry a normal Siddurim. He kept the Kohelim going. I mean, the Scud War, whatever now, like in Haifa, whatever. You want to take responsibility for keeping the yeshivas open and the Kohelim carrying on normally. That's big news. Yeah? I don't know what they've decided there. A lot of people have moved, whatever, I don't know. Between the Scud War of Shach told the Kohelim the yeshivas not to close, to keep normal Siddurim. After the war was over, they took him to hospital. He was poshed ill. He said, do you think holding the responsibility like that, you think it was easy? He said, now I'm paying the price. That's God of Israel. He take responsibility. He was ill afterwards. They rushed him to hospital. He told one of his talmidim. He said, it was making me ill. The one night there was a kohel or whatever, and he heard there was a scud in Ramat Gan, and he knew there was a kohel there. We'd send people. He was, until he found out that everybody was okay, he was frantic. Because he'd taken responsibility.
Well, I'm sorry, should we stand up for, same way we stand up for a Rav? Should we stand up for Rav?
No, because we're not standing up for Rav, we're standing up for Torah. That's Kovat Torah.
No.
Then you stand up for every Jewish mother. Stand up for every Jewish mother. I'm serious. What she's doing is far more greater and far more life-threatening and damaging and dangerous. And I mean, you know, you hang around with 6 year old Shalmi kids the whole day, all crazy. Discipline them, bring them up, clothe them. No, there's a thing called Hilchos Talmud Torah. Stand up for a other rabbi. We pity these guys because they don't know what they're fighting for. They're out there fighting and giving their lives and whatever. They don't know what they're fighting for.
So what's the best thing you can get? You can
daven, learn, save yourself. No, because
they're saying that apart from that, when you see a soldier on the bus, the best thing you can do for them, as in like you can't give them cover. You can't unless you give them cover. You buy them something, or you give them.
Sit down and learn with him. Ask him if he wants to learn a bit of Torah with you.
Yeah.
Ask him what his Hebrew name is, so you can daven for him. Give him what he doesn't have. He's got all the physical things. He's not lacking anything. He needs a good dose of ruchness. Why do you have to have a closer toy? It's poshut. Somebody opens a door for himself and you manage to get through without having to open the door. You don't have to have a chorus of Torah. He said you haven't to open the door. So say thank you. What's the problem? But he's not frum. Who cares? Say thank you. Chorus of Torah. We're looking for opportunities to be indebted. So you'd be indebted to somebody who's up there. Not just him. How do you think his wife feels? She doesn't have a husband tonight. She's worried. She doesn't know if he's coming home. I mean, do you know the trauma involved in this whole thing? I mean, you have to sit down and take responsibility a little bit.
So it just seems like a Jew in England would have more pity for a Goy going to the army in England than he would for his fellow Jew in Israel.
Well, that's ludicrous. That's mummer sick.
That's how close.
Well, that's sick.
England, if England would go to war, and every single Jew would be saying, "You're saying to him on behalf of him."
That's sick. Something very wrong with it. That's because of the fragmented. That I remember the Tehillim we used to say in South Africa when the war was on. Yeah, I mean, whew. The gatherings and the Motzei Shabbos gatherings and the Achdus meetings and all the shuls got together. And well, I mean, it was unbelievable. That's all Hashem really wants. There was generations where they didn't keep Torah and they were all involved in Avodah Zarah, and every time they went to war they won. Why? Because they were united. There was no Sinas Chinam, and there were generations that kept every mitzvah and whatever, and every time they went to war they lost because they weren't united. They say the Romanian Jews survived the Holocaust with very little very little Nazi interference, because there was unity there. Even though they weren't that from, they weren't as from as the Hungarian Jews and the Lithuanian Jews and whatever, but they were completely united. Reform never got in there and whatever, and there was unity, and they were almost unaffected. The only Israel that said, but they stayed unaffected because of their unity, because of their achdus. It's lacking. It's lacking. What can I tell you?
A rally's good.
Unity rallies. Yeah. No. That's a whole shiur on its own. No, because that's a Goyisha way of responding. Our responding is to go back to the tent of Torah. We Yaakov. You have to understand, who are we? Are we Yaakov or we Esav? Yaakov. So what does Yaakov do? What's Yaakov's response to Esav? He sits and he learns. If we understood what learning Torah was, you wouldn't have any of these questions.
Even rallies where the chief rabbi gets up and says, we need to be together as people.
Those aren't rallies. Those are prayer gatherings. That's where you call
the
together.
Prayer, I mean, to have like...
Those are rallies. I thought you meant a rally.
I mean like this...
You get together in one shul. You get all the communities village. Come together in all the shuls, and you have prayers, and you say Tehillim, and then you have
one gathering of 100,000 people, and the rabbi gets up and says, we need to be united. It's the time, but we need to...
If there's a possibility for such a thing, and it's a gathering that's Lekshem Shemayim, that's Kiddush Hashem, or whatever, yeah, it could be. Those are klal issues that you have to ask. That you have to ask the klal rabbis. In South Africa, they used to do as well. If all the yidden used to get together in one shul, it's like a sign of achdus or whatever.
They have
all over. Yeah, it's just
today.
Yeah.
A big, massive gathering.
Yeah. So if it's a gathering for tefillah and for kedusha, then I know it's a kiddush Hashem. If it's a rally for protesting against the, then that's shtus. It's not.
No, do you have to hang out a massive, all the movements and everyone?
A few years ago, they had like a thing in the Chicago Square, like a...
These are cloud issues. When it comes to cloud issues, you have to ask cloud people.
Just had like a screaming out.
That's got nothing to do with us. We're not protest people. No, go back to the Bas Midrash, open a Gemara and learn. There's nothing greater you can do for Klal Yisrael. What we don't understand is, we don't understand what Torah learning is. If we understood what Torah learning is, we wouldn't have any of these shalas. You'd sit and learn. because that is the greatest shield we have. That is the greatest koyach we have. Those are our tanks and our bullets and our atom bombs.
What's safer for one study to get there?
You're right. The Gemara is definitely the thing that gives it to you. Stop learning for a week. You see how you feel. You suddenly remember. Binyan Oilam, which we have to actually start getting a chabura going again, because you guys want to learn on your own. And Shadalad of the Nefesh HaChayim, which you also need to start a chabura in. I was actually thinking of doing that next month in this Seder. We'll start doing Shadalad and Nefesh HaChayim, because that mamash teaches you not just the chashivas of Torah, but it shows you how Torah connects to the higher worlds, and what Hashvor does, and which buttons it pushes, and why it is that Torah is the greatest thing. Not but just telling you, but showing you actually how the system works. When you understand how the system works, and you connect it, and you understand how your tefillah and your Torah goes together, you start understanding how the whole system is put together. The same way as how does this air conditioner work? Like, why do I have to plug it in? So tell me. So when you plug it in and you don't understand what you're doing, so you don't understand it's important. But if you understand how electricity works and how condensation works and cooling, etc., then you start understanding the system. You know what's going on. The same with Torah. If you understand how the system works, then you don't have any of these questions.